Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 78, the Why Can't I Just Get Precise? I don't know. It's bugging me episode. Yeah, I've been, you'll hear all about it. I won't even go over it now because it's too painful to repeat. It is. It's just, I don't know what's going wrong. But anyway, and I need to make this kind of fast. We are headed out of town this afternoon. We're going to Charleston, South Carolina. I want to say thanks to April, who left a great comment, including info about Charleston fabric shops. So that's very nice to know. I think tomorrow in the morning we're going to Fort Sumter, and then in the afternoon we're going to wander around downtown. So I am hoping to find some fabric and a good bookstore as well. That will make me and Jack very happy. It's going to be a good trip, I hope. We are traveling with children, so that, you know, cuts the odds a little bit of it. But I have decided to be positive and have a happy attitude. Lean into joy, as they say. Yes, I'm reading this book. It's called Happy for No Reason. I'm just doing a little mental spring cleaning. I'm feeling fine, but I thought, what is it? You know, I think that I'm having just some minor changes in my life, nothing bad, all of it actually good, but just feels like I'm in a transitioning place. I don't quite know what I'm transitioning to. And so I've just been thinking, well, what's working for me right now? What's not working? You'll be glad to know that I think quilting is working and podcasting is working. But what's not working, I mean, for instance, my attic is really not working for me right now. The level of disorder in my house is not working for me right now. So that's the kind of list. I'm just trying to articulate things. What's really making me feel expansive and open to the universe and energetic? And what's making me feel like, what's making me contract and feel closed up and blah? My attic, yes. Will's room, another thing. So anyway, so I've been reading some books. And I'm not like a big self-help book reader. And they just kind of make me feel goofy, but oftentimes you find some good stuff. And so there's one book, it's called Happy for No Reason. I just got it out of the library, and it's actually quite good. It's given me some things to think about, but one of the author's things is you should lean into joy. So if you have a problem or you find yourself thinking negative thoughts, it's like, where is the positive in the situation? So like right now, Travis is not well. I think he's just got a bug. But he's not been eating, and for Tuesday and yesterday he threw up a little bit, and he's just kind of not feeling well. Well, we're going away today, and the kennel where we keep him is also our vet, so we're going to take him in, and the vet's going to look him over. And I think he just probably ate something that disagreed with him. And I've been taking him for walks, and it's not like he's just a blob. He's still active, but you can tell he's just not himself. And of course, I'm worried that you worry. You know, having a pet, it's not quite the same intensity as having a sick child, having a sick pet, but you do worry. And so you know what the author, whose name, I have no idea what it is, but the book is Happy for No Reason, I think. Anyway, she's like, you know, when you've got a problem, you know, first of all, let yourself feel your feelings about that problem. And so I let myself feel all my grieving feelings about Travis being sick and what if something terrible happened. And then sort of like, all right, now let's look at the situation realistically and how can we approach it more positively. And so I was like, Travis is sick. He probably just has a bug and he will get better. And I kept saying that to myself. And you know, you feel kind of goofy. And I'm not doing the exercise where you stand in front of the mirror and tell yourself all these really wonderful things about yourself. Not doing it. But doing that particular exercise was really good. Because the fact is, Travis doesn't feel well. He's got a bug. He'll get better. That's the truth. But you know, our minds, they just go into dark alleys where they should not go. So anyway, so as far as my trip to Charleston, I'm going to endeavor when my children do things that upset me or make me want to jump off a bridge, I'm going to look for the positive. I will live with the upsetting jumping off the bridge feeling, and then I will look for the positive things. I will find them, and I will repeat them to myself like a mantra, and I will stay away from bridges. So anyway, so we're going to have fun. But so I've spent a lot of time just telling you about that, and as why I can't spend a lot of time telling you about things. So let's go ahead. First of all, thank you everyone who commented on the last episode. If you would like to comment on this episode, go over to my WordPress site, theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. And leave a message, leave a comment. I really do love hearing from you. I've gotten some new iTunes reviews. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. And I need to be a little better about leaving some comments myself. Daisy, I am really sorry. I have not commented in forever, if ever. And I'm just getting caught up with you a little bit. And I'm just having the best time. So you're lovely. Your podcast is lovely. And I'm going to listen to your new episode and leave a lovely, positive thinking comment. How will my comment be anything but positive? No, it cannot be. So I'd love to hear your comments, love to get your reviews, or you can email me fdal@mindspring.com. I'm happy. No, I'm not doing Mindspring. Sorry, fdal@nc.rr.com. If you send it to me at Mindspring, I would get it, but I'm in the process of switching over. And I'm excited to say that listener Tori is going to be in town on Monday, and we're going to grab a cup of coffee over at Foster's Market in Durham, and that should be really fun. Tori, probably by the, I don't know. Well, you're on the road, so probably by the time you hear this, we will have met and had a great time, and so let me just say thanks. All right, let me say thanks, too, to everyone who left a comment. I want to say thanks to Katie R., and this is actually an older episode, and I just missed it. It's a recent comment on an older episode, and she just says, thanks for not being able to figure out how to finish the hexagon block edges. I had the same problem with my huge grandmother's flower garden quilt, and when you mentioned to cut off the border, I just had the light turned on. That's what I'll do with mine. And actually, and all the thanks really goes to Meredith, who was the one who figured that out for me. But also, it's really neat how you learn stuff. I learned stuff. The most recent thing, I think, was on a recent Crafty Garden Mom episode where Tanisha talked about quilting with clear filament, which I've wanted to do, and how one of the things she does is she puts the filament in the freezer and just hopes no one will think it's dessert. So that was, you know, so we listen, we learn. It's really neat. Thanks to Noni, who was concerned about my camera. The thing about my camera that I used at the quilt show, Noni, is it was my phone camera. So, and it's really, I think, looking at a lot of people's pictures from the quilt show, especially the meetup, the light was very strange in that room because the space we were sitting in was kind of dark, had some overhead lighting, but then there was bright light on either end of the hallway. And I think that was part of the problem with my pictures. That's what I'm telling myself. Thanks to Kelly the Fifth. Thanks to Sherry D. Walker Lady. And thanks to two listeners from the Willamette Valley area, Emily Hinkle and Kari. I'm saying that right, right, Kari? Yes. Okay, so that's in Oregon, which Kari told me how to say, not Oregon. And they both mentioned Grandma's Attic, where they've never been. Kari wondered if maybe it's just an online store, which maybe it is. And Emily so thoughtfully said, if it is a real store, that she would go get me the fabric I needed. Thank you so much, Emily. I actually was able to find it, yay, on eBay. But now that I know I've got people in Oregon, I may take them up on any offers to help me get fabric from Grandma's Attic. If it is, in fact, what do you call it? Brick and mortar store. We don't know if it is. Okay. Thanks to Tori, who I'll be seeing soon. To Jay. To Amy. And this was actually a comment on the Bento Box episode. Thanks to Mary Sarah. Several comments from Daisy. Very lazy Daisy. I think she's getting caught up. And to April, who did tell me to go to get Jack's Cosmic Dogs. And the fabric shop on Henrietta Street in downtown Charleston called People, Places, and Quilts. And I do plan on going. I love that name too, Henrietta Street. So thanks to everyone who took time to write, email, comment, leave a message, the various ways that people communicate with me. I really do appreciate you taking the time. And I think that's all I'm going to say for right now because we're headed on to 40 minutes and that's quite long enough to hear from me. All right then, on to the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, Day 1, Saturday, March 4th. Hello. I actually wrote some notes down. I never do that, but there were some things I just wanted to mention. So I'm going to mention them. There are many sounds going on behind me. The man is washing beer bottles. He has a new batch of beer he's about to bottle, and so he's got to sterilize all his bottles. So there's a lot of bottle slapping going on in the kitchen, and Will, who should really be in bed, is upstairs in his room reenacting the Carolina Duke game that just finished up a little while ago, and go Carolina, they won, so that made us all happy. I didn't watch the game because it makes me too nervous, and you know, in a way, I don't care that much, except I care for Will. He was very upset the last Duke-Carolina matchup because Duke won. So I was hoping Carolina would win, and I'm glad they did. Things I want to tell you. One. Okay, so I've needed a little extra of my Hoffman Gardenia fabric the other day for the block of the month. And I think I talked last time about looking for it online and finding it reasonably priced in terms of yardage, less reasonably priced in terms of postage. Well, finally, I found some on eBay. Now, I had to buy a whole yard, but it was reasonably priced, and the postage was like $2.95. So that was reasonable, too. But here's the thing. I ordered that fabric on Wednesday. It got here Friday. Let me tell you the name of the company. Undercover Quilts. Undercover Quilts. Get it? I just got it actually right now. Undercover Quilts. So if you are ever in the need of fabric that you can only get online, check out Undercover Quilts. They have a big store on eBay. Big eBay store. So check that out. Are you guys familiar with a SoCal Gal? That's so SEWCAL Gal. Blog doing a year-long quilt along, free motion quilting quilt along. Okay, every month they have a new expert machine quilter give a tutorial, and you can be involved. You can do the tutorial and post your work on Flickr, and I think you can win prizes. I'm not so concerned about that. Oh gosh, hold on. Sorry, Travis pushed open the kitchen door, and all of a sudden it was a bottle of Orama. Anyway. I'm just interested in learning the skills, so it's very cool. Check it out. Just listen to the History Quilter episode today, the new episode over at the History Quilter podcast. I'm very excited at the prospect of Susan, the History Quilter, meeting up with Jay, the Art Quilt Maker. They are both California gals. I don't know if they are SoCal gals. I know Jay's not, actually. Susan may be a little south. I can't remember. Susan will have to check that out. Anyway, I think Susan is going Jay's way, and they're talking about having their own little meetup, and Susan has asked Jay formally, she did so on her episode today, to let her record their discussion, their conversation. Probably not all of it, not the really juicy stuff that we'd really want to hear, but, you know, some probably pretty cool stuff about quilting. So, Jay, say yes. Say yes. Wouldn't that be fun? I just think that would be so fun. And I also just love this idea that people are meeting each other. People are getting together. And that brings me to another thing, Paducah 2013. That's all be there or be square. My mom and I have decided that we are really going to try to go. My mom lives in Louisville, which is about 3 hours away from Paducah. And the only problem with Paducah for me is it is always the general time of Jack's birthday. Jack's birthday is April 27th, and Paducah, I think, is just that week. But I bet I can pull off a couple days and go to the quilt show and still be back in time for Jack's birthday. So, and this is even more exciting. I mean, that's exciting enough that my mom and I might go. But I was listening to Hip to Be a Square, and Pam announced her intention to become a quilt appraiser, which I think is so, so cool. And I believe she has to do some classes. She has to put in some time at Paducah. That's part of the process. And sounds like she's going to go 2013. To Paducah, everybody, let's go to Kentucky. You know, that's a pretty central location, too, if you think about it. It's not quite the middle of the country, but it's getting pretty close. So think about it, put it on your calendars, and I will update you as my mom and I make plans. Finally, I spent last night, I was going to do some work on the hexagon quilt, which reminds me, this is actually not the final point, and Will decided that he wanted to work on a quilt, actually, before the big Duke-Carolina matchup. So we made templates of the UNC and the Duke logos, and he's been sewing stripes together. Whether or not this will actually get finished, I don't know, but he was very into it, and he really loves sewing, although he's a wild man on the machine. And even though my machine, there's a quarter foot on it, he doesn't abide by the quarter foot rule. It's all over the place. It's pretty funny. But I do think it's really cool. I'm kind of excited. I've had two machines before my Bernina, and I've given them both away to worthy friends. But now I kind of wish I had one for Will, because I think he would probably do a lot of sewing. He really likes to make stuff. So he's a hoot. And if he ever does finish the quilt, I'll put a picture up. Hexagon Garden. Been sewing it together. I have to say, it looks really cool. I mean, sewn together, I really like it. Still don't know if I'll be able to use it in the house, if it'll really go with my stuff, but I do like it. But it is not like anybody's idea of precision piecing. A lot of the hexagons are sort of like Salvador Dali hexagons. They're sort of melty, kind of moving side to side, make you a little dizzy to look at them. And I don't know how I feel about that. Part of me is like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, the quilt itself, the colors are really pretty and whatever. And it almost looks deliberate. It looks like a liberated hexagon quilt is what it looks like. And so part of me is like, don't worry about it. Just the colors are pretty and it's fine. And part of me is like, man, I just have to get more precise. I have people say to me, oh, you've just really improved with your quilt so much. And my mom and Jake, oh, you're making so much progress. Really proud of you. And I feel like, oh, I have improved. And then I do something like this. And I think, no, I haven't. NJ's also counseling, like, don't get too hung up on precision, but I gotta be more precise than this. It's just making me a little bit crazy. Maybe hexagons. I mean, so I cut out my own strips for the hexagon. I got the pattern from the newest Lintot Girls book. And so I cut my own strips, made my own strips. So there you have like your first step toward imprecision. It doesn't take much to be that imprecise. And I knew as I was doing the triangles that would become, and then I had to make my own template, right, to cut out those triangles. This quilt really had not a chance in hell, actually, that it was going to be in any way precise. But now I'm like, and there's not much I can do to correct it. And I did a little trimming before the sewing, and that turned out to be a mistake. I don't know why I do that. I do it. It's just like cutting my own bangs. Why do I do that? Why? I don't know. So I will take a picture of it and show it to you. When I finish, I will share it with you, even though I will be somewhat embarrassed to do that, except the colors are pretty. Oh, gosh, I might have to take it into Thimble Pleasures and let them see it. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Get to be more precise. I guess so. Or stop making hexagons, one or the other. I'm just going to have to think about it. I'm going to have to figure this out. Again, I don't want to drive myself crazy about precision, but I don't know. Yeah, that template. I made my own template. That was just bound. That was bound for real problems. So I thought I'd share that with you. I feel like I'm confessing to you. All these people have been so supportive of my work that it really... And I'm making much better quilts than I was making 2 years ago. Right? I really have gotten better in so many ways, thanks to a lot of people. Yes, so that is true. I'm just like, man, I just feel chagrined, perhaps a little embarrassed. I don't know. But that's what I'm here for, to share these things with you, because maybe you will be listening to this and go, you know what? I have the same thing. Maybe you just pieced together a quilt and just slapped yourself upside the head and thought, why can't I be more precise? Why can't I get this right? Well, honey, I'm there with you to say, me too. It's frustrating. It's irritating. But you know what? We just got to soldier on, don't we? Yes, we do. We're going to soldier on. We're going to figure out what we're doing wrong. We're not going to be perfectionists, because that way lies madness and boredom. And suicidal tendencies and all kinds of things. We're not the whole perfectionism thing. We're not going down that road. But we will shoot for a little more precision. An occasional matching point might be nice. I'm just saying. All right. I've got to go get Will in bed. It's getting late, and I'm really tired of hearing him play basketball. He's jumping up and down. He's making all these three-pointers. So glad we won. Anything else to say? No, but I'll be back soon. I feel like I've been listening to everybody's podcasts, and that's one of the reasons I started writing stuff down, because I thought, oh, I'm always listening and responding in my head, and now I really want to just respond out loud and say, Susan, Jay, yay! You know, Pam going to Paducah, yay! And, you know, all those things. Yes, now I'm just rambling, so I'm going to stop, and I will be back just right after this click. Quilt Diary, Day 2, Tuesday, March 6th. 2012. Okay, so after we spoke last, which I believe was Saturday night, and I was keening about my lack of precision, about my melting Salvador Dali on acid hexagons, I sat down with Quilters Academy, Volume 1, Freshman Year by Harriet Hargrave and Carrie Hargrave to review. Harriet Hargrave cracks me up. She is so bossy. And I say this as someone who's actually pretty bossy. I didn't know this about myself, how bossy I was, until I had children and a husband. And I realized how much I bossed them around all the time. I'm like, stop, stop. And I'm a terrible backseat driver. And I'm trying to get better. And I try to catch myself. And I try to make a joke out of it when I tell the man, you know, you need to get in the left lane here, she said very bossily. And he laughs. He's fortunately a good sport and has a good sense of humor and knows that I'm bossy. But I am not as bossy as Harriet Hargrave. He basically says things like, well, if you were taught to do so-and-so, basically it ruined you as a quilter and you need to learn, relearn these skills. She says stuff sort of like that. I mean, basically, many a quilter has been led astray. But she's going to set you straight. And rereading, reviewing Harriet and Carrie. I think it's more Harriet than Carrie. Carrie is Harriet's daughter. And like many a daughter who is not interested in what her mother was doing until she turned about 30, that's true of not just Carrie and myself, but also, is it Mary Fonz? Mary Porter? One of those. I think it's a Mary. You know, the daughter of one of the Fonz and Porters, yes, who now is a big quilter after not being a quilter for a long time, because that's just how it goes. Anyway, I don't think Carrie really much to do with this book, unless she's actually as bossy as her mother. Anyway, I was inspired, for instance, to check that I really was getting a quarter inch seam when I sewed, and I am. You know, I use the foot, the quarter inch foot, and I am getting a quarter inch seam. But I thought, too, about something Sandy talked about. You know, she and her BFF BQF, Kate, went to a lecture on fabric, and there was talk about, is it warp and what's the other thing? I want to say warp, weave, warp, wind, warp, you know, anyway, weave and warp. The up and down and side to side of fabric, and how nowadays, because cotton has got so expensive, they're not really as the fabric we're getting, even at these very expensive prices. I think it's the east to west threads, and perhaps the count is a little lower than maybe there's 100 going north to south and maybe 60 east and west. I am paraphrasing, I'm making this all up, but Sandy said something like that. Go back a couple episodes. You'll hear. She said something like that. Enough to make me think, you know, I need to be much more careful as I am leading, guiding fabric under the needle. And I've noticed sometimes, you know, I have been paying very close attention to that the last couple days. And I need to pay attention to that, and I need to be very careful when pressing, because I think it's easy to distort fabric. The last couple days, what I decided to do after I was so distressed after my melting hexagons, I reviewed and I decided to work on some traditional blocks. And I was actually inspired by this book that I got recently. It is called Patchwork Persuasion by Joan. I'm assuming it's Joan. It's J-O-E-N. It could be Joanne Wolfram, who is also the woman who designed the color tool that I like so much and that Jay had recommended to me. This is a wonderful book, especially if you interested in traditional blocks, kind of gone funky. So not necessarily modern. And by the way, I don't want to forget this, I've been listening to Rhonda over at Quilter in the Gap interviewing Cindy of Fluffy Sheep quilting. First of all, I love Cindy's voice, and she just on her blog and via emails and comments just has always seemed to me like a very lovely person. Someone I think is kind of a leader in the community, in the online culture community. And it's been great listening to her, and she's just funny and nice. And I'm hoping she's going to invite me to come visit her in Ireland any day now. But they were talking about modern quilting and sort of trying to define the aesthetic, and that was interesting what they had to say. So I would recommend, it's the most recent, as of today, episode of Quilter in the Gap, and quite interesting. And, you know, I love the modern aesthetic, but right now I'm not drawn to making modern quilts, though I love looking at them. I really do. I just still find it a very clean and fresh look that I enjoy, but as far as making things, I'm just doing other stuff. Just doing some other stuff right now. But in this book, again, we're talking about Patchwork Persuasion. Essentially, it's just taking blocks and making them really interesting and kind of, as Marcia Brady would say, this very far out way that I just love. A lot of it has to do with color and positioning and play. I think there's a lot of play, but there's like this amazing quilt. So there's a lot of pictures of other people's quilts in here. People, some of whom who have taken Joan's class, and some that she's just found in the world. And they're not all, but you know, when I say kind of traditional, say traditional gone wild, it's not the same as traditional gone wonky. Mostly these are not wonky quilts, but there's one called Galaxy of Stars by Marcia Baker of Plano, Texas. And it's amazing, and it is a, well, I will read the description. This innovatively colored six-pointed star quilt was strip pieced using Marcia's own technique, see sources. Her colorful quilt was inspired by a set of Tupperware cups sitting on her kitchen counter. It took her a year to collect the wide variety of fabrics she used to create her own star galaxy. So these are stars, and they're just six-pointed stars. But what she does with color, so if you divided the quilt diagonally into three parts, the middle part, the colors are darker and more vivid, and on either side, they are lighter. In the middle, they're sort of red and what looks to me like navy blue, and as they sort of fade on either side, they're violets and very light purple and peach, and the effect, for me, is stunning. There's something actually very Jasper Johns-esque about this quilt, and I find it exciting. There's a quilt on the next page called Canada Geese Metamorphosis, The Triangles of the Fly. Oh, it's by Emily Black of Grand Forks, British Columbia, 1991. The triangles of the flying geese pattern are arranged as mountains of British Columbia. Emily arranged these so the darkest triangles were at the bottom, while the lightest ones were toward the top, representing mist and fall. And the thing that the description doesn't tell you is at the very top of the quilt, before you hit the borders, of course, there's actually overlaid on the traditional flying geese blocks is an actual portrait of flying geese. It's amazing. It's an incredible quilt. So I'm very excited by this. And one of the things about this book that I like, too, is that at the beginning, Joan kind of walks you through what you need to know about blocks. And some of this I know from talking with Jay. Some of the things that Jay has talked about kind of came home to me reading what Joan wrote about with the grids. So with traditional blocks, you've got four grid, five grid, seven and nine, maybe six as well. And one of the things she talks about how you have to be careful with repetitions when you're making a quilt if you don't necessarily want to make it with the same block over and over, although I just did that with Sawtooth Star and I liked it. But she talks about how you put different blocks together and how it best works out if you are, say, using two different styles of blocks in a quilt. You want them to be from the same grid, so 2-9 grid, 2-5 grid. That if you have a 4 grid block and a 9 grid block, the blocks won't really work together. And she gives examples. There are illustrations of what works and what doesn't. So that's very neat. And she writes really well. And here's something that she wrote just about borders. The purpose of a border is to support, enhance, complete an effect, or give visual closure. I like that visual closure. A border is not the place to introduce a new idea to the quilt. It is a time for reflection, repetition, and support. This closing quilt feature simply reiterates elements and mirrors parts of the overall design. This reflection may be done through color, fabric, shapes, directions, or patterning. I found that useful information. I thought that's a really interesting way to think about borders. She writes like this all the way through. It's just lots of interesting stuff. And then there are a lot of exercises. So to get you kind of working in the direction of, this interesting patchwork, using patchwork and taking it beyond just the typical patchwork quilt. And I wish you had this. I wish I could just scan this book so you could see it, because I love these quilts so much, but the quilts really do play with traditional elements and take it from there. So that was good for me to read because it was inspiring, particularly after the quilt show the other day and seeing a lot of really interesting work done there. So what I decided to do was to make a couple blocks. I think there's 7 grid blocks, and I have the 501 Rotary Cut Quilt Blocks book by Judy Hopkins. So I went through, and it says in the book, as you're looking through, I'm reaching over and dropping things, it will tell you how many grids each block is. And so I decided to do a bear's paw, which is a 7-unit grid, and another one I think is called Autumn Tint. And the interesting thing, yes, Autumn Tints, also 7-unit grid. The interesting thing about block names, I love them, but I was looking at something else recently and also saw a block called Autumn Tint, and it was not the same as this. The Autumn Tint is very similar to the bear paw. And in fact, for some reason, because I really wanted to make a bear paw, I've been thinking about that for a long time, so I decided to go with the 7-unit grid. It turns out that's probably, of all the grids, rarest. And I ended up doing something that I think I probably shouldn't have done if I had been paying more attention to Joan, because these blocks are actually similar. And I think that you're supposed to not do what I did. But nonetheless, one of the reasons I wanted to make these blocks was to see how they work together, to test out the theory of the 7-unit grid, or keeping the grids the same number, and also to practice precision piecing. So I made them, and I'll put up pictures. I ended up doing 12 1/4-inch blocks. And you know what? I think those were too big. But I wanted to do bigger ones because I didn't want to work with really small pieces, which I figure the smaller I go, the less precise I will be. But now I have very big blocks. I don't know that these will work into a quilt for me. I did use red and white. The Autumn Tint block is a little anemic looking because it's more white. And the print that I used a red and white print. And so it's a sort of pale. But I have to tell you, actually, the bear paw with the fabric I used is really cool looking. It almost looks spattered. It's very interesting. Even though it's not a spattery print, there's something about it in the bear paw pattern. It's kind of wild looking. So I will take pictures and show those to you. And I might end up doing something with the bear paw. I don't think they work together beautifully. But I do see what she was saying. They do work together grid-wise. So that was good. And one of the things I paid attention as I was sewing, and I paid attention to the fact that sometimes, especially the more pieces you add on and the more seams you have, you know, those seams can be bumpy. I tried to be really good about paying attention to seams and how I was ironing things. But you go over a bumpy seam. Once you start adding some dimension to the blocks as you're sewing the pieces together and together and together each time, it's easier to kind of, you go over that bump and you actually, the fabric moves just a little bit. So I had to be careful about that. I was very careful about paying attention while the fabric was moving under the needle to try to keep it level, to keep it, yeah, to feed it in a level way where the edge of the fabric was always in the same place, right against the edge of the guide of the 1/4-inch foot. So I'm playing around a little bit. Probably tonight I will actually not make a new block, although I really loved it. I really like making these blocks. I find it just satisfying. It's the puzzle person in me. Not that I'm actually that huge of a puzzle person, but I do like puzzles, and it's just satisfying work. And with the bear paw, I actually took it apart. I sewed and re-sewed, and you can kind of see that in the fabric. The fabric was starting to get tired. Quit sewing on me. Quit ironing me. But I wanted to really get it as precise as I could. Not that I'm becoming like a slave to precision, but I wanted to see where the problem was. And I think that, you know, I feel like, for instance, my half square triangles are getting much better and much more consistently squared. So I'm happy about that. So that is what I'm up to. I do think I'm going to, tonight, perhaps, we'll see. I haven't written today. It's been a weird day. We're on spring break, and Will's been in a funky mood. He's just been funky. He gets that way. These breaks are not good for him. And the big plan, besides, you know, we're going to Charleston at the end of the week. But before that, it's like he wanted to have his friend Wynn over to spend the night, but Will got a fever, and he wanted Saturday night, and then he had a fever, and then Wynn was also going to the Duke Carolina game. Go Carolina. And then Sunday night, Will just still kind of had a fever. And so, I mean, he wasn't terribly sick, but we really couldn't invite someone over. And then Monday night, Wynn couldn't do it. And tonight, Wynn couldn't do it. Wynn is a very scheduled child. I love Wynn, and I love his mother. It's a very nice family. But both parents are from this area, so they do a lot with extended family, and so Wynn's a lot of times just got stuff going on, and so anyway, it just didn't work out, and Will was not happy, and he had to get a haircut, so it's been a funky day with Will. So I didn't end up writing today, so I may try to write tonight. I'm trying to get all my chores done now, so I can write tonight for maybe a couple hours, but maybe I could end up quilting instead, and if so, then I will work on the hexagon garden. I'm very close to having that finished. Gosh, I hope I will have a picture of that. I may end up posting tomorrow night, which will be Wednesday night, because we are going out of town Thursday. I don't know if I'll have a picture. I'll take a picture of whatever I have. And then I don't quite know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll ask your advice for what to do next with that. I mean, I'll finish the top. I do like it. I do like it. We'll see if I have a place for it in the house. And I don't know what I'll do with the blocks that I've just made. Might do something with the bear claw. Might build on that a little bit. I think the autumn tints, it's either going to become a pillow or, you know, if there's a block, orphan block, a place for little orphan blocks to go, I will send it there. I don't know. But I am trying to also be a little bit more open to play. This is something I've been thinking about. Sandy and I discussed this a little bit when we visited at the quilt show, just process, the importance of process and play. And I love the process. I'm very much about process, but I do think when we make quilts, we're using resources and what do we, you know, and so I kind of like having an idea of what I'm going to do with what I make. And I don't know, but I did just give it away. I know, but if you make, well, I'm not going to go down that road. We've been down that road. I'm not going down that road. Anyway, this could be the very end. As in fact, we're getting on to 30 minutes, and I do want to actually post this tomorrow. So I guess I'm going to end this, and then if I have any more news before I post this, I'll mention it at the beginning and the introduction. So I hope you have a great week, and I hope you're getting lots of quilty work done and listening to all your podcasty friends. We love that you listen, and feel free to leave a comment. Let me tell you where you can, theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, or you can drop me an email. I'm trying to be better about emails, responding in a timely fashion. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I've been a little slack, but I'm trying to get back on top of my game. And that is fdowell@nc.rr.com. I love to hear from you. If you haven't left an iTunes review and the spirit moves you to, go on and do it and be sweet. All right. See you next week. Bye.